Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls from Independence Baptist Church. We want to welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Now, last week, Pastor Reynolds talked about how sin came into the world. And the week before that, he talked about how Jesus came to save sinners. However, this month, he'll share with you a message titled, A Letter from Hell. Join Pastor Reynolds now as he starts this very sober message about the fires of hell.
Often, the warnings of the preachers of God given to people in this world are not heeded at all. There's a lot of people that believe that everybody is going to go to heaven when they die. Many times you can go to funerals and here's a person that has passed on and they have made no provision for their eternity. They have not trusted the Lord. It's evident in their testimony that they rebelled against God and did a lot of things in their life to reveal that they had no indication of desiring to be with the Lord or to ask forgiveness for their sins or to find comfort in the Word of God. And yet at those funeral services, oftentimes the narrator will proclaim that this person is in a much better place, that they're now at resting and they're now at peace and they're now enjoying themselves. Well, the fact is that not every person that passes from this life goes into heaven. There's many, many people that slip off into a devil's hell. They're there in the flames of hell, and they're there for all eternity. And there's no getting out of that. I know that we don't want to think about that. We want to believe that when this life ends, that every person will find themselves in a great, grand place of peace and eternal bliss and comfort. But that's just not the way it is. Jesus himself gave the story, the true story, of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was busy with the things of this world. No doubt he was a good man. But he was a man who neglected his own soul. And now this man is in the flames of eternal damnation. This morning I want to read to you a letter that perhaps the rich man would write, if it were even possible for him to write a letter back to this earth from the place of hell. And I know that that's impossible to do. I know the Bible tells us that there's a great gulf that's fixed between heaven and hell, and that there's no way that anything can come back and forth between the two places. There's no way that anyone from hell can send a letter back. But if such a letter could be written, I believe the letter that I'm going to read to you is a good representation of what this man would write. Today, I want you to consider very soberly your eternal destiny. Because every person, whether you are listening to this program or not, has an eternal destiny. You have a place that you're going to spend eternity. Sin has come into the world, and men are sinners and people die because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ has come into the world as the only begotten Son of God. And he has given his life on the cross of Calvary. And he shed his blood that sinners like you and me could be saved. Jesus gives to us freely of his own salvation. This morning, you listen to the words of the letter from hell. And I pray that God would bless you with hearing and bless you with understanding. And I pray this morning that you would diligently seek forgiveness of your sins from the very God who can forgive you. That is through the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. This letter was written in a message that Freeman Lacefield preached back in the early 1970s. Here's the letter. It's written from hell. It's written to the general public or to whom it may concern. And it comes from the rich man who is forever lost in hell. Here's what he writes. Dear ones on earth, since I shall never be able to see any of you people back in the world, I am writing you this letter. I would like to say that everything is still the same as when I first came here during the time of Moses. Yes, all is still the same, except I hear new voices as they weep and wail, which is a constant thing here in hell. I do hope you can read what I'm writing. It is very hard to keep my thoughts separated because of the loud screaming and blasphemous cursing of my fellow subjects. All of us in hell have no excuse for being here. We were warned and warned not to come here. We were told to trust in Jesus, shed blood for salvation, but we didn't. And here we are. You just can't imagine how bad hell is. You've never been here, and I hope you never come. One thing that makes this place so extremely confusing is the millions of lost souls cast here every day. But don't be surprised. The Bible said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." The mouth of hell has stretched herself in order to hold all the people that are cast into her. You may think it's strange that I know so much about what the Bible says, especially since I didn't care about the Bible when I was alive on the earth. But down here, things are different. I just can't help thinking about the Bible and the many wonderful things it says. These things just come automatically to my mind. Oh, here comes some more screaming souls into this place of torment. That just goes to show there is open house in hell 24 hours a day. Man, what I would give for just one teensy tiny drink of water. But it is forever settled in heaven that there will never be any water in hell. Listen, dear reader, lay hold on the one who is the living water. I cannot get the words of Jesus off my mind when he said, "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." I know I will never be able to call upon him as my Savior and Lord. But you still have that opportunity. Those words certainly mean a lot, but it's too late for me. I often think of the days of my lifetime, or I should say I always think of them, how that I had everything my evil heart could wish for. Those wonderful days when I sat clothed in purple and fine linen until my days came to an end. Yes, it was I who sat on top of the world. No one mattered but old number one, myself. I remember Lazarus sitting at my gate full of sores. It would have cost me very little to give him the proper medical attention. I could have laid him in one of my soft beds and nourished him back to health, but I wouldn't. I could have given him half my goods and not missed them. But no. Now, Lazarus is comforted, and I am tormented, as Father Abraham has reminded me. I was having a ball, but now the ball is over. Are you having a ball, dear reader? Are you underestimating the valuableness of time and letting the devil deceive you down to my eternal home of the damned? Flee this place while you can. What a crying shame, what horribleness, what deprivation. Something else while passing. I'm writing this letter in the midst of an unquenchable flame. This flame is the source of constant torment. If those who think the 16th chapter of Luke's account of me as a parable were with me now, they would soon get some convictions that hell is a real live place for the dead lost. My soul has been dying all the time I've been here, but it just cannot get the job done. The Bible says that hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. There are many bothers and aggravations down here, and no relief from any of them. One of these is that I can look into heaven. Do you know what I see? If you read and study your Bible as you should, you know the answer. The scene is perpetual. I see Lazarus, no longer a beggar, but a rich man in heaven. Oh, for shame that I treated him so terrible, when I could have lightened his heavy load. But now the haunting words, "Too late, too late." I have a thing or two to say about prayer requests in hell. I made a request to Father Abraham about 3,500 years ago, and to this day, my request has not been granted. Why I keep up this dead hope that he will someday grant it, I cannot understand. Dear reader, you had better do your praying and calling on God while you are living. After death is the judgment, not salvation. I say these things hoping someone will give earnest heed, but we are in hell and have no influence with God, nor can we change anything on the earth. My prayer was that Father Abraham would send Lazarus back into the world to warn my five brothers not to come to this place of torment, even as I do not want you, dear reader, to come. Please take advice from one who has learned the hard way that experience is the best teacher. Abraham told me, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Don't forget, God saves by his plan in his Bible. And by rejecting his plan, I have eternally sealed my doom and have learned that zero prayers are answered in hell. After it is definitely too late, I have also learned that the place to repent and believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is while you are living in the world. Do you believe in a literal hell? If so, this should not be dull for you. I must close this letter knowing that it is the first and last letter written from hell. Yet if opportunity allow me, I could write for eternity and not be able to tell all the sufferings of this place of fire and brimstone. Lost forever, the rich man. P.S. Please read this letter to as many as you possibly can.
What a thought this message provokes in our minds. This letter that Pastor Reynolds read, of course, was put together by someone trying to capture the message that's given to us in the book of Luke, dealing with the rich man and Lazarus. Now, although this letter is made up, when you search the book of Luke and you search other passages in the Bible that deal with the topic of hell, you'll find that everything in this letter is very accurate. The pictures that it's describing are very biblically accurate. Now, the Bible talks about the Lord sending rain on the just and on the unjust. And this, of course, is talking about his blessings in this life that he provides to both the lost and the saved. However, the Bible clearly states in Luke that the rich man in hell could not even receive a drop of water on his tongue, a drop of water that was dripped off of somebody else's finger. In hell, that was not even available to him. Now, the Lord is long-suffering toward sinners, and he has given his life that people can have eternal life. A well of eternal water is available. It's available right now while you're alive. But when a lost person dies, they're going to lift up their eyes in hell and will not even be able to get a drop of water on their tongue. Now, today, when blessings come and the rain comes on the just and the unjust, you know, it's easy to try to overlook the Bible's account of hell. But for those that have already died, lost, it's a reality that they will never get away from. And for those of you who are lost, and as Pastor Reynolds mentioned a few weeks ago, Jesus came to save sinners. Admit you're a sinner, and that without Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell. Ask him to forgive you and to save your soul. He is the only way. He's that well of water. He has given himself, he's given his life, and he has raised himself up again. He was the sacrifice for your sins, and he gives it freely if you'll just accept it. Now, if you need to talk to someone about this, please contact us at 636-673-2180 or log on to our website for additional contact information. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. Now, you're also welcome to join us for worship services this morning. Our Sunday school class starts at 10 a.m., and we'll have worship services starting at 11. We also have a prayer meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and another worship service at 4:30. Now, you can find our building at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We do want to thank you for listening this morning, and we want to encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as Pastor Reynolds shares the full story about the rich man and Lazarus from the book of Luke.